Well, this morning, I want to talk to you. The Lord has really been speaking to my heart about prayer and about the importance of God's people and God's church being a people of prayer. Just seeking the Lord together in prayer. So this morning, I just want to talk to you about Jesus' passion for a house of prayer. Jesus' passion for a house of prayer. I want you to go with me to Matthew chapter 21. We're going to start at verse 6. It says, "And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set them thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitude that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it into a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them." In Matthew chapter 21, we have the triumphal entry of Christ into Jerusalem. Jesus has been in 3 years of ministry, and now he's coming to his house. He's just had 3 years of ministry, just exemplifying the heart and the works of his heavenly Father. And now his steps are moving towards the cross. And the Bible tells us that when Jesus went into Jerusalem, that the whole city was moved, that the whole city was shaken by his coming, that the whole city was in an uproar because the prophet and the Messiah that Moses said would come is now coming to them in the Zion, the city of God. And of course, we know it's only a few days later when this same multitude will reject Jesus as their Messiah, because Jesus didn't come to live up to their worldly expectations of what the Messiah would be. But here at this time, at this moment in time, the Bible says that the whole city is moved, that the whole city is in an uproar, that there's just, from the whole city, there's just a fervent cry of exaltation and worship and praise as Jesus rides in to Jerusalem. And beloved, what I want us to see, what I want us to recognize is that riding into Jerusalem, Jesus is not moved by the reception that he received. He's not moved by the fervent display of emotion that he sees. That there's something very weighty on the heart of Jesus, and he sets his face like flint to the temple. And as he patiently wades through this sea of people and enters his Father's house, he sees that in his Father's house, all the corruption that is in the Father's house. He sees that the religious order of the day has set up a system where they're robbing and they're cheating the people. He sees that the religious order of the day has set up money changers that are exploiting the poor and exploiting the traveler for their own selfish gain. And the Bible tells us that Jesus reacts with anger. The Bible tells us that Jesus shows a display of his anger. The Bible says that Jesus begins to overturn the tables of the money changers, and he overturns the seats, and that he drives the money changers out of his Father's house. And brothers and sisters, when we look at this, we can say, when we really look at this, that this is seemingly a violent display of anger from Jesus. That this is a fierce display of his anger. In one of the Gospels, it tells us that Jesus made a scourge, and with that scourge, he drove the money changers out of his house in his anger. That, brothers and sisters, Jesus wasn't passive in his anger here. That there is a fierceness about him in his Father's house. So we could then ask the question, okay, well, why is Jesus so angry? And why is there such a reaction of his anger? Why is there such a display of his anger? Well, brothers and sisters, we have to remember again that Jesus just spent 3 years walking up and down the land ministering to his people, being with his people. He just spent 3 years walking up and down the land and ministering to the suffering and the affliction of his people. He just spent 3 years walking up and down the land and laying his hands on lepers and seeing the horribleness of their diseases. He just spent 3 years walking through the tombs and setting free the demon-possessed. He just spent 3 years hearing the pathetic cries of mothers and fathers in behalf of children that were being destroyed by the devil, thrown in the waters and the fires. He had just spent 3 years walking through his land and seeing it was so ravaged by disease and by gross poverty and by captivity and by bondage. And now he's coming to his father's house. And I believe with all my heart that as he's coming to his father's house, Jesus is remembering why God called this house by his name in the first place. Jesus is remembering why God in the very first place says, I'm calling this by my name. This is my house, brothers and sisters. You see, when the temple was first built, when it was first built to the Lord, when they dedicated that temple, there was a man that stood in that temple. And this man, in dedication of the temple, he began to pray a prayer to God. That there was a prayer that was weighing upon his heart, that was so heavy upon his heart. And I believe that it was a prayer that was stirred by the Spirit of God. And he began to lift his heart and he began to cry out to God regarding the temple that they were dedicating to the Lord. And Jesus remembers his prayer. Jesus also remembers the response as this man is sitting there pouring his heart out to the Lord and crying out to the Lord about his house, about the temple. God came with a marvelous response to this prayer, and Jesus remembers that response. Now, this morning, I want us to see this. I want us to look at this. So, I want you to go with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 6. Go with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 6, and we're going to see the first dedication of the temple to the Lord. When you have 2 Chronicles chapter 6, I want you to look at me for a moment. We're going to read a lengthy reading. What we're going to read is lengthy. But, brothers and sisters, I want you to try to really hear the cry of Solomon's heart. I don't want you just to read through the scriptures with me. As much as you can, I want you to put yourself in this place with him. And I really want you to hear the cry of Solomon's heart as he's offering this prayer up to the Lord. Look with me at verse 17. Solomon praying says, Now then, O Lord, God of Israel, let thy word be verified, which thou hast spoken unto thy servant David. But will God in very deed dwell with men on the earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee, how much less this house which I have built. Have respect, therefore, to the prayer of thy servant and to his supplication, O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry and the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee, that thine eyes may be upon this house day and night, upon the place wherefore thou hast said that thou would put thy name there, to hearken unto the prayer which thy servant prayeth toward this place. Hearken therefore unto the supplications of thy servant and of thy people Israel, which they shall make toward this place. Hear thou from thy dwelling place, even from heaven, and when thou hearest, forgive. If a man sin against his neighbor, and an oath be laid upon him to make him swear, and the oath come before thine altar in this house, then hear thou from heaven, and do, and judge thy servants by requiting the wickedness, by recompensing his way upon his own head, and by justifying the righteous, by giving him according to his righteousness. And if thy people Israel be put to worse before the enemy, because they have sinned against you, and shall confess and return, and confess thy name, and pray and make supplication before thee in this house, then hear thou from the heavens, and forgive the sin of thy people Israel, and bring them again unto the land which thou forgavest to them and to their fathers. When the heaven is shut up, and there is no rain, because they have sinned against thee, yet if they pray toward this place and confess thy name and turn from their sin when thou dost afflict them, then hear thou from heaven and forgive the sin of thy servants and of thy people Israel when thou hast taught them the good way wherein they should walk, and send rain upon the land which thou hast given unto the people for an inheritance. If there is dearth in this land, if there be pestilence, if there be blasting or mildew or locusts or caterpillars, if their enemies besiege them in the cities of their land, whatsoever sore of whatsoever sickness there be, then what prayer or what supplication soever shall be made of any man, or of all the people Israel, when every one shall know his own sore and his own grief, and shall spread forth his hands in this house? Then hear thou from heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive and render to every man according to all his ways, whose heart thou knowest, for thou knowest the hearts of the children of men, that they may fear thee to walk in thy ways so long as they live in the land which thou gavest unto our forefathers. Moreover, concerning the stranger, which is not of the people Israel, but is come from the far country for thy great namesake and thy mighty hand and thy stretched out arm, if they come and pray in this house, then hear thou from heaven, even from the dwelling place, and do according to all that the stranger calleth to thee for, that all the people of the earth may know that thy name and fear thee, and doth thy people Israel, and that they may know that this house which I built is called by your name. If thy people go out to war against their enemies by the way, and thou shalt send them, and they pray unto thee, this city which thou hast chosen, and this house which I have built for thy name, then hear thou from heaven their prayer and their supplication, and maintaineth their cause. If they sin against you, for there is no man which sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them over before their enemies, and they carry them away captive unto a land far off or near, yet if they bethink themselves in the land whither they are carried captive, and turn and pray unto thee in the land of their captivity, saying, we have sinned, we have done amiss, and have dealt wickedly, if they return to thee with all their hearts and with all their soul in the land of their captivity, whither they carried themselves captive, and pray toward their land which thou gavest unto their fathers, and toward the city which thou hast chosen, and toward the house which I have built for thy name, then hear thou from heaven, even from the dwelling place, their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people which have sinned against thee. Now, my God, let I beseech thee, thine eyes be open, and let thine ears be attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. Now therefore arise, O Lord God, into thy resting place, thou in the ark of thy strength. Let the priests, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation, and let thy saints rejoice in goodness. O Lord, turn not away thy face of thine anointed. Remember the mercies of David, thy servant. So this is the first time the temple has been built. And Solomon is now dedicating the temple to the Lord. And there's a prayer that's really going out of his heart. Solomon is standing in this holy place, and he's pouring out his heart to the Lord. And this is what Solomon is praying. He's saying, Lord, if your people have sinned against you, and if they have turned their heart against you, and turned from walking in your ways, but for one reason or another, they see what they've done, and they're broken before you. And they come into this place. They come into this place that is called by your name. And they spread their hands and ask forgiveness. God, I pray that you would forgive your people. God, I pray that as they begin to turn their hearts to you, that God, you would turn your hearts to your people again. God, when your people begin to see their land being ravaged by disease and sickness, when they see the poverty and the gross poverty and the dearth and the diseases, and they realize that they've sinned against you, Lord, when they come into this house and they spread their hands before you and they begin to pray, oh God, I pray that you would forgive the sins of your people and that you would one more time turn your face to them. I pray, Lord, that one more time you would begin to shower them again with your graciousness. You would begin to shower them again with your mercy. God, when your people see the enemy come into their land and they're powerless against their enemy, they're powerless against those that are taking them into bondage and captivity, and they come into this place, this holy place called your house, and they lift their hands and they begin to pray to you, God, I pray that one more time, Lord, you would turn back their enemies. I pray that one more time you would clothe your people with strength and with might. I pray one more time, Lord, that you would break the yokes of the enemy and the bondages and the captivity. God, this place is your house, and when your people come into your house and they begin to pray, God, I pray that they would hear from heaven and that you would forgive their sin and that you would heal your land and heal your people. That is what Solomon is praying here. Now, many generations later, Jesus is coming to his temple. After 3 years of walking up and down the land and seeing the diseases and seeing the captivity and seeing the bondages and seeing the suffering and the affliction that his people is under, Jesus is coming to his house. And Jesus is remembering why God called this by his house, this by his name in the first place. And he's remembering the great promises that God gave towards his house. And he's remembering these things. And he's also remembering the response that God gave in reply to Solomon's prayer. See, when Solomon prayed this prayer, what was God's response? Well, look at me at chapter 7, verse 1. It says, "Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord filled the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, 'For He is good, for His mercy endureth forever.'" So how did the Lord respond to Solomon's prayer? The Lord responded to Solomon's prayer by filling his house with the glory of God, so much so that flesh could not stay, flesh could not abide in this place of glory. And what we have to understand, God is speaking something of his heart here. God is saying something to Solomon here. And what God is saying to Solomon is simply this: Solomon, you have found my heart. You have found the desire of my heart. You found the passion of my heart. Solomon, this is the prayer that will fill my house with my glory every time. Solomon, when my people sin against me, but they come into my house broken and contrite over their sins, Solomon, it's the desire of my heart to hear their cries. It's the desire of my heart to forgive my people. It's the desire of my heart to pour out my mercy and grace to them. Solomon, it's the desire of my heart to restore my people. It's the desire of my heart to heal my people. Solomon, it's the desire of my heart to go into their places of captivity and liberate them and set them free and give them power over their enemies. Solomon, that is the passion of my heart when my people know my house is a house of prayer. Amen. And now generations later, Jesus is coming to his temple. After seeing the disease and the captivity and the bondage that's ravaging his land, he's now coming to his temple. So let's ask the question, why is Jesus angry when he enters the temple? It's because when he enters the temple, he knows instead of seeing people robbing and cheating, instead of seeing the religious order of the day robbing and cheating for his own selfish gain, what he should be seeing is the priests of the Lord in the house of the Lord, humble before God, leading God's flock, leading God's people in prayer, saying, "God, we remember. God, we remember the promises you gave us. We remember how you said that when we humble ourselves before you, you will open heaven. You will forgive our sins. You will heal our land. God, we remember that. That was a promise from your heart regarding this place." Why was Jesus angry? Jesus was angry because when he came into the temple, he knew instead of hearing the greedy demands for money, what he should be hearing is prayer ascending up to God, laying hold upon the goodness of God, laying hold upon the mercy of God, laying hold of the promises of God. But instead of hearing and seeing the house being a house of prayer, what he sees is greed. What he sees is covetousness. And Jesus is angry because he knows the religious order of the day has robbed the people of God of the mercy of God and the blessing of God because of their selfishness and their prayerlessness. Beloved, when Jesus said, "You have turned my Father's house into a den of thieves," I do not think he was talking about money. I think he was saying, because of your prayerlessness, you have robbed the people of God of the blessing of God, the promise of God, the glory of God, the might of God, the power of God, because of your own selfishness and prayerlessness. Amen. That's what he was saying. Now, right here, I know what many or most of you are thinking. You're thinking, I know where Pastor Tim is going with his message. He is now going to talk about how frustrated and angry the Lord is today because so much of his church is not a house of prayer. I know that's what he's going to talk about. I know he's going to talk about how frustrated and angry the Lord is because so much of his church, we've made so much of his church anything but a house of prayer. But brothers and sisters, you're wrong. Because I really feel from the Lord to take it in the opposite direction. I really feel from the Lord this morning to really stir our faith, to really excite our faith, to really one more time put an expectation in our heart that Jesus is so passionate. When his people come into his house and pray, he is so passionate. He desires to hear the prayers of his people. He desires to answer the prayers of his people. When his people come into his house and pray, he desires to open the heavens and just pour his spirit out upon his people. In the Old Testament, whenever his people prayed, looking at Moses dedicating the tabernacle and Solomon dedicating the temple. In the Old Testament, when God's people prayed together, God opened the heavens and poured his glory out. But in the New Testament, looking at the book of Acts, whenever God's people come together in the sanctuary and they pray together, God opens the heaven and pours his Spirit out. And beloved, the Lord so wants to excite our faith, to stir our faith, that when we come together in his presence and we begin to pray with faith and expectation, laying hold of God's willingness to answer prayer, laying hold of his willingness to answer prayer. God says, I want to open the heavens. I want to pour out my Spirit upon my people. There is so much I want to do to answer the prayers of my people. Brothers and sisters, when Jesus said, my Father's house shall be a house of prayer, he was revealing something very wonderful and very powerful about the heart of God. Through these words, God was saying this. God was saying that I love my people very deeply, and I am so near to my people, and that my temple, my house, just isn't for me. It's for them. It's for my people, that my people can come into my house and lift their prayers to the Lord, and they can know in their hearts that I am a God that desires to hear their prayers and to answer their prayers. Whether it's prayers of intimacy and worship, or whether it's prayers of lifting your needs and your burdens and your cares to the Lord, my people can have an assurance in their heart that they, when they come into the house of God and they begin to pray, their prayers touch heaven and their prayers touch my heart, and I so desire to hear and answer the prayers of my people. That is what the Lord is saying. That's what God is saying. And looking again, when we think about 2 Chronicles chapter 6, the Lord is talking about needs. The Lord is talking about needs. He's saying, when my people come into my house and they humble themselves before me, and there's just needs in their lives, and there's just things they need me to intervene and move in. When they come into my house and their heart is right with me and their heart is clean before me, then I will not forsake my people. I will so hear their prayers, and I will so move, and I will so respond, and I will answer their prayers. I think about Psalm chapter 50, verse 15, where the Lord says, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you will glorify me. Brothers and sisters, there are many, many saints that have many, many wonderful testimonies about times when a crisis came into their life and they didn't know what to do. They had no power over what was going on. They had no control over what was going on in their crisis. But in their desperateness, they lifted their prayers up to the Lord, and God heard their prayers, and God intervened, and God made the difference. And now their hearts are so full of testimonies. Wherever they go, they're a living testimony of the glory and the faithfulness of God. It's what the Lord is saying here. He's very passionate about his house being a house of prayer, because he so longs to hear the prayers of his people and to open up the heavens and pour out his Spirit and move upon the lives of his people and help his people. Very passionate about it. Now, brothers and sisters, with this in mind, I want to look at a familiar passage of Scripture, very familiar passage of Scripture, but it's a passage of Scripture the Lord has been ministering so freshly to my heart. I want you to go with me to Luke chapter 4. Start with me at verse 16. And Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. And the Lord has really been ministering to my heart out of verse 18. That when his people come into his house and his people come before him and they just come together and they begin to pray and seek the Lord together, Lord has just really been ministering to my heart that he so longs, as I've already said, to open up the heavens and pour his Spirit out upon his people. There is so much that the Lord wants to do. He so longs to go into those broken and fragmented places of our heart and to bring healing. He so desires to go into those places of captivity, those places of fear, those places where the enemy may have a grip on our minds and set his people free from those things. He so desires to go into those places of hurt and go into those places of pain and bring healing and bring joy. When His people come together in His house and call upon Him, He so desires to open heaven and pour His Spirit out upon His people. Now, brothers and sisters, look at verse 18. I want you to notice those first five words. It says, the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord. A man called me not too long ago just asking for prayer. Without going into detail, he was just in a very difficult, a very painful place in his life. And he called asking for prayer, and we had a time of prayer together and just looking at certain scriptures and talking about certain scriptures and just really encouraging him and myself in the word of the Lord. And before he hung up, very innocently, he made this statement. He said, it's so hard to go into my church and to pray because there's so little ministry of the Holy Spirit. Very innocently, he said, it's very hard to go into my church and pray because there's very little time given to the Holy Spirit to minister. The Holy Spirit really doesn't have a place to minister. Now, brothers and sisters, I didn't say that to cast judgment upon this church. Why I'm saying this is for this reason. Beloved, we as a church, we have to have the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We cannot live as a church without the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We cannot thrive as a church without the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We have to have the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Whatever we experience as a church and as a people, it will be through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Whatever changes take place in our heart and our lives, and whatever changes take place in our circumstances of life, it will be through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Beloved, we have to have the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, I say that in connection to prayer because I want to say this. And right here, I just want to quote Pastor Jim Cimbala of Brooklyn Tabernacle. Let me get that out. Brooklyn Tabernacle, because he said it so well. This is what he said. He said, you cannot disconnect the Holy Spirit's anointing from prayer. That whatever a church experiences as a church in the Holy Spirit, it will only be because they pray together. They're in that place of prayer together, praying together. And beloved, as a pastor, I want to say this. Listen, we will not experience everything the Holy Spirit can do in our church if we are not a people that pray together. We will not experience everything, all the miracles that God can do in our church if we are not a people that come together with our hearts united together and pray together. Beloved, God, there are so many miracles that God wants to do. There's so many things. God wants to open up the heavens and pour His Spirit out upon His people. But it will only be as His people tarry together and linger together and pray together. Amen. Will only be that way. Now, I know many of us here know this. And I know we have prayer meetings on Tuesday nights. And I know that many of us have very powerful personal places of prayer. We have those prayer closets we go to every day and we just spend time with God and seek the Lord. But this morning the Lord is speaking to us as a church, and I pray we hear it in our heart. As a church, this morning the Lord is saying, I'm calling you as a church to a higher place of prayer. Because there is so much that I want to do. And you can't disconnect the anointing of my Spirit from prayer. I'm calling you to a higher place of prayer. And beloved, my heart's desire is that as I preach these messages that the God has given me on prayer, something would rise up in our heart. A faith would rise up in our heart. An expectation would rise up in our heart. That yes, I hear the Lord calling us to prayer. I hear Him calling us to a higher place of prayer. There are so many things God wants to do. He wants to bring in the lost. He wants to bring in the backslidden. He wants to bring in Christians that are hungry and thirsty for life. There's so many things He wants to do in the hearts of the people. He wants to heal us. He wants to restore us. He wants to show us things about His heart that we've never seen before. I hear God calling us to a higher place of prayer. And there's something in my heart that says, I will arise to the call of God. I will rise up to what God is speaking. Stand with me this morning.